The Flames Talk postgame show starts now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, let's get our Flames Talk postgame show underway on this Sunday night. And that's a bounce back the Flames needed. The bounce back in Seattle, as our Flames Talk postgame is available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Live right here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Your final score, Flames hang on 3-2 over the Kraken to improve to 7-0-1. Lifetime in that building since the Kraken entered the NHL. It's Pat Steinberg with you, 403-240-4444 is your phone number. Text line 96960. Megan Mickelson, color voice of the Flames, with us for a few minutes as well. And Mick on the pregame show, our marquee matchup brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. Wes Gilbertson and I focused on Dan Vladar and how important this start was for Vladar. He makes 29 stops, picks up his first win since December 10th. And knowing this might be his last start before the Four Nations break, he needed a big game tonight, and he gave his team a solid outing. This is an important win for Dan, wasn't it?
No, that was absolutely massive. And, you know, I remember Ryan Huska talking yesterday about, you know, the fact that they had had a conversation yesterday, and Dan Vladar obviously wants to play more, but, you know, just about how when he does play that he needs to give the team a chance to win. And I think obviously that's exactly what he did in this game. And Jason LaBarba this morning telling me when I asked him just about Vladar and his mindset, obviously, I mean, it been a long time since he had won a hockey game. You're coming in and you're playing behind a tired team that had played less than 24 hours ago in the second half of a back-to-back, once again getting the tougher start. And he said he just needed to go in there and be himself and just kind of play with a clear mind. And, you know, when you don't play a lot, you put a lot of pressure on yourself. And, I mean, as do all of these guys, they're high performers and competitors. So, but I thought that he did a really good job and made some massive saves, especially, you know, later on in the second period when the Kraken sort of turned the tides and started to pour some heat on, you know, late in the third period as well, the entire third period, he made some huge saves. I did get a little bit worried when he took that delay of game penalty and fired the puck over the glass. You know, as a player, I've seen things, you know, go south oftentimes, and it can be because of a simple play, an unintentional play like that. So I was happy, though, that the penalty kill came through and that they were able to kill that one off for Dan. And you could see how happy the guys were for him after the game as well, after that final buzzer went. And Mackenzie Weegar pretty much did a button hook and a beeline right back to Vladar to give him a tap on the mask and, you know, and saying great job. So really happy for Dan Vladar.
Dan Vladar picks up the win. That was our marquee matchup brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. It's time to Toyota at the giant Country Hills Toyota. The 2024 Toyota truck clearout is on. Get financing as low as 0% OAC with zero down and no payments until July 2025. Let's select tonight's hardest working Flame. Mick, which way are you going with the hardest working Flame tonight?
Well, I'm going to give honorable mentions to Dan Vladar because, you know, that was a tough game to come into and a tough one to play. But, you know, as I just mentioned, he did a great job. Yegor Sharangovich, I thought, had a really strong game as well, obviously, with 2 points. I thought Jake Bean was outstanding and definitely earned the promotion back up to, you know, that pairing with Mackenzie Weegar. But the guy I thought that was really dangerous and impactful, especially early on, was Morgan Frost. I really, really liked his game tonight. He had 5 shots. Scoring the first goal on the road like that is massive, especially for this team. And he was also excellent in the faceoff circle at 62%. And then considering everything that he has been through, playing a game like that, scoring such a clutch goal, have to give it to him.
Morgan Frost, your hardest working Flame this evening. And now Mick, like, it doesn't stop. They fly back and then it's another 3rd and 4 nights when they take on Toronto on Tuesday with travel between all of them. I can't remember a schedule that has been this much of a grind covering this team. We all know why, because of the Four Nations break and the condensed nature. But boy, has this been a grind for them.
Yeah, and it just makes, you know, your rest and recovery that much more important. And I, you know, when schedules are crazy and you're tired, I just always think of, you know, what the staff does in terms of, you know, making sure that they're on top of all of those things. And you really have to make sure as a player that you're getting treatment, you know, anything, any bumps and bruises you need to take care of, you're staying on top of your sleep, nutrition, all of those things are very important. But you also know on the Flames wear those catapult units. So they take a very close look, you know, at the load that they're putting on them in games. And that's why the Flames have had so many optional practices lately. So I wouldn't be surprised, you know, they have the day off tomorrow, but if they also had an optional skate on Tuesday morning as well, just to make sure that, you know, the guys that are playing the minutes and, you know, have those bumps and bruises, that they're giving them the time off to recover that they need. So that becomes even more important in these periods, in these stretches where the volume is hard and it's heavy.
Thank you, Mick. We will see you this week, hey?
Thanks, Pat.
Megan Mickelson signing off on our Flames Talk post-game show on this Sunday night. Flames win it 3-1 over the Seattle Kraken. It's time to go from the Flames dressing room now, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. Let's check in with head coach Ryan Huska. His thoughts following this one tonight, a 3-2 Flames win over Seattle.
You talked about you know, the response here this morning. What did you make of the way that your team started here?
The way we started, I thought, was excellent. I liked our first period. There was a lot of things that we did well, power play, penalty kill, and I thought we were skating early on in tonight's game, and that to me was the difference in the game, of course. You know, we took water on as it went on, but we've had a tough stretch of games as well with some travel issues last night, so I'm really, really pleased with the way our guys competed tonight.
And maybe as much as the first period will get credit, what about the way they get within one and just the way that you were able to withstand and kind of hang and obviously push back?
You know, the things that you like, one, you feel good for the goaltender because it's been a long time coming for him. I thought he was excellent tonight, and he gave us the chance to win when we were taking on that water. And then we had a lot of guys that were blocking shots tonight too. So you may not be feeling great, but you have to find a way to win those games. So I really did like the sense of urgency.
What have you seen from Boddy through this stretch? I mean, obviously, you know, he gets an opportunity and he gets one that he says, you know, means a lot to him here tonight. But just, you know, from the group, you could tell he wanted to get it for him. But his kind of composure through the stretch?
He's been good this whole time. I mean, we've talked a lot early in the year about both our goaltenders being very good for us. Wolfie's had the bulk of the starts over the last little while, but I do feel like Vladdy's been a real pro with it. And, you know, we challenged him yesterday, actually, to make sure he was the difference for us tonight, and he most definitely was.
Just the challenge early on and maybe the difference that it makes obviously changes mm-hmm. you know, the outset of the game.
It for sure. You're down 1-0 and you're probably on your heels a little bit. So Jamie did a great job of taking his time and making the right decision to challenge that one. There's such a tough thing. They have one that goes against them on the other side, and we're able to score on that situation too. So I'm happy that Jamie helped us out for our side.
You guys underrated a little bit in terms of physicality. I mean, we've seen you a limited number of times. It just seems like you've pounded a lot of people. You ended up getting two power plays out of your territory.
Yeah.
It just seems like it's a pretty physical club.
I don't necessarily know if we're a physical club. I think it's more like hardworking, and they try to play in the face. We have one defenseman, Pahal, who finishes hits like the one we saw here tonight. But more of it's just trying to play a gritty, harder game.
There you go. That is head coach Ryan Huska post-game after a 3-2 win over the Seattle Kraken. And as Mick and I talked about, a big night for Dan Vladar as he makes 29 stops for his first win since December 10th. Let's check in with Dan Vladar post-game as well.
Well, I mean, I just start with the response from your group here and just what you saw from everybody on a tight turn here tonight.
Really good effort from our group, and I think we deserve to score those three goals in the first period because, I mean, last couple of games we just didn't have those bounces or we didn't have the luck to put it in. So I was really happy for our group that we were able to put up three in the first period quick like this.
Well, I mean, kind of an emotional roller coaster too. They get obviously the challenge, the goaltender interference there, and you know, maybe just take me through what that period was like, and then getting a couple of those wins.
Obviously, a lot's up and downs, but I said it multiple times. I think Chipsy, Chipsy and Guac, our radio coaches, are best in the league. So I have a full trust in them. And as previous times, I own them two cases of beer, so they're going to get it for sure.
How good does it feel to get the victory here tonight? I know you had to kind of scratch and claw throughout this game, but just you know, to make sure that you guys close this one out here.
For myself, it's been a while since I won last time, so obviously, you know, maybe it was in my head a little bit, but I can't thank enough our group in front of me. They cleared the box really well. They were boxing out, and it was a privilege to play behind them tonight. And you gotta keep going. You know, nine periods in front of us, three games, and three really good teams. We have Seattle again, right, coming to our building, so we wanna focus on those next three, and then rest up a little bit and cheer for Rezzy in hopefully weeks.
I was gonna say, I mean, a lot of press is gonna be about that first period, but maybe are you guys equally as impressed about the third? And you know, they get kind of a funny bounce there, but just the way that you were able to withstand it.
Those moments, you gotta just embrace it. And I think the guys did an awesome job, and everybody had fun. And in front of me, guys were blocking shots, and you know, B took a high stick for the team towards the end. So you know, those things really matter. And as a goalie, we really appreciate it. And as I said, really, really proud of our group.
There you go. That is Dan Vladar post game following this 3-2 win over the Seattle Kraken. Vladar's first win since December 10th, and he needed it because this could very well be his last start until after the Four Nations break, which is now three games away. Three more games before the break, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, could very well be Dustin Wolf in all three of those games prior to the break. And I thought Vladar was quite solid tonight. He played well and gave the Flames an opportunity to win. More on him in just a little bit. But that's our look inside the Flames dressing room, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. Okay, Flames win at 3-2 in Seattle. The reverse script. Usually they're winning on the first half of back-to-backs and losing on the second. Flip script this time. They lose last night at home to Detroit. They win tonight on the road in Seattle and are now 7-0-1 all-time at Climate Pledge Arena. Take a break, come back, get to the phone calls and text. Phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Text line is open at 960-960. This is your Flames Talk post-game show on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts, and live right here. This is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Flames Talk post-game show continues on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Well, that was an eventful night, hey? And the Flames come away with a 3-2 victory over the Seattle Kraken on this Sunday night, so the Flames don't win on the first half of the back-to-back. They do win on the second half of the back-to-back, and hey, the goal is the split, so maybe a little bit more pressure on the second half of the back-to-back when you don't win on the first half, but they go into Seattle, and hey, look, the schedule is not their friend. They added another like extra 90 minutes or whatever it was on the tarmac early on Sunday morning, late Saturday night after arriving in Seattle after the 3-1 loss, and they still find a way to gut it out, and that's impressive, and it's exactly what they needed to do. So that is very, very important, and I thought that they, even though Seattle definitely started to spend more time on the attack in the final 30 minutes or so, the Flames did a nice job of defending intelligently, and they played a great first period, and you know what? They took advantage of the opportunities that were presented to them. They had a good challenge. The power play situation, I don't think anything in the first period was poorly called, honestly. You know, I think the Flames absolutely, they came out on the right end of everything in that first period, but I thought it was all the right call. I mean, the Jamie Pringle, Calgary Flames challenge of the 1-0 Seattle goal, that was pretty clearly goalie interference. Schwartz is in the crease, and even though it was Vladar whose stick got tangled up in Schwartz's skates, that's still Vladar's crease. And so, yeah, that was a goalie interference call. And then the situation with Sharon Govich, where there were two, the Flames were already on the power play, and there were two separate penalties going to be called, and Sharon Govich scores on the delayed penalty, like, within half a second of the one of them being called. And so then it was going to be a 5-on-3 regardless, but Sharon Govich scores. The Kraken challenge it. Because Sharon Govich scored, one of those penalties was wiped off, but another one was going to stick. They challenge and lose. The goal stands, and so it's a 2-minute 5-on-3, and the Flames score on that as well. And all of that, I thought, was properly called and by the book and done well. I even thought that the call to uphold the Sharon Govich call was correct, because it was exactly the same, or very similar anyway, to the play that we saw Colton Parayko score the overtime game winner against Calgary at the Saddle Dome a few months ago. Remember where Vladar was in net, Flames challenged, felt like there might have been goalie interference, and that Parayko kind of pushed the puck and Vladar, and that was the reason why Vladar couldn't make the stop. And the ruling then was, as a skater with a puck battle, even in the crease with your stick on it, you're entitled to fight for the puck. And so they called it a goal. And that was like the exact same situation, I thought, tonight on the Sharon Govich goal. Yes, he was trying to take a shot, and he absolutely knocked Joey Decord's stick, which didn't allow Decord to make the stop, but it wasn't in the crease, and it was going for the puck. Exact same situation. So if you're going to call the Parayko goal a good goal, you got to call the Sharon Govich goal a good goal. That was the right call. So that was all very eventful in the first period. Then the legs and the schedule, I think, started to catch up to the Flames in the back half of this game. But Vladar made some big stops, and the Flames did a good job defending intelligently to not allow it to get away on them. And good for Dan Vladar. Time for the save of the game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. And Vladar's save of the game comes in period number 3.
Right on the final 10 seconds of the third period. Huberdeau gives it away to Dunn, who tries to thread the needle to Montour. It bounces by him. He does catch up to it and center it. McCann in front. Stopped by Vladar in the dying seconds, as the Flames will hold on to win this one.
So that was the 29th and final stop for Dan Vladar tonight, and that is his save of the game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes donates $5 to Kidsport Calgary. Visit ShaneHolmes.com, the better way to build. And I did think it was a quality start for Vladar. The two goals that go in, one of them is a complete fluke on Tanev, and the other one, the 2-on-1, no chance on that. And I thought that most of the night was doing a good job with rebounds. And, you know, that can be something that can plague a goalie when they don't play a lot, like Vladar hasn't of late. And it's also something we've seen a little too often this year from Vladar, that he hasn't done a very good job controlling those rebounds. And so I thought tonight he did, was doing a nice job absorbing a lot of those scrums. Shots, and then that was leading the scrums in front. I just thought it was a much better night tonight from Dan Vladar compared to, you know, what we saw in his last start, where I did think he struggled a little bit in that loss to Winnipeg. So first win since December 10th, probably his final start until after the Four Nations break. Okay, let's get to the text line now at 960-960 on your Flames Talk post-game show. Wedley says, happy for Dan to finally get a win, and first for Frosty the goal man. I see what you did there. Nice goal from Morgan Frost, too, to make it 1-0 to start that onslaught in the first period. Claude writes, Pat, lots to like from tonight, though it was touch and go late in the third. Power play, Sharon Govich, Frost, and Huberdeau were great. Glad to see Vladar get the W. I like their lines, and it'll be interesting once Zeri comes back. Hope the Four Nations break gives Backlund time to get healthy. And yeah, Michael is definitely playing through something. There's no doubt about it. He's got something that's going on, and it's definitely hampering him right now. I still think what you get on a regular basis from Backlund defensively is still strong, but it has taken a little bit away from the other side of his two-way game. There's no doubt about it. And I thought the Frost line was excellent tonight. Frost, Sharangovich, Pospisil was unquestionably Calgary's top line. So it was good to see a couple of the players on that line get rewarded. The line scored the 1-0 goal. Sharangovich scored the power play goal. So it was nice to see those guys get rewarded because 5-on-5, they were excellent. They were an 80% possession line. Shots were 10-1 when they were on the ice. High dangers, 2-0. It was a really, really good line. However, I did not like Huberdeau tonight. He scored the big goal, don't get me wrong, but I thought that that line at 5-on-5, Huberdeau, Kadri, Farabee, took on a lot of water and were pretty, and again, I give him the benefit of the doubt, knowing the circumstances, and they were really good last night against Detroit. I thought they were Calgary's best line against the Red Wings, so I did think tonight, though, that line struggled a little bit, especially at 5-on-5. This says from Trent, I think the Flames sat back a little too much, but Vladar shut the door. Happy for all the goal scorers. Congrats to Huberdeau for his 20th. Not many would have put money on that before the season started. Lots to like, lots to build on. Bring on the Leafs. Hopefully they shut them out because the dome gets too loud when the Leafs score their damn turncoats. Did they sit back or did they just have the realities of the schedule catch up to them? I don't think there was any purposeful or intentional. There we go. I don't think there's any intentional sitting back. I just think that the legs started to get to him. This reads, big win for the boys. Nice to see Vladar back in the win column. Weegar looked solid tonight after maybe being off last night. If they were looking for a left shot defenseman to pair with him, what about Zamula or Zellweger? Zamula in Philadelphia, former Calgary Hitman. Zellweger in Anaheim. The guy that I really like is Zellweger. I think that, you know, for whatever reason, Anaheim seems to be a little bit more partial to bigger defensemen. And Zellweger's been a full-time NHLer this year, but has been in and out of the lineup and has been healthy scratched a lot. If you could somehow find a way to pry Zellweger, I think that's a bona fide top four D-man in the NHL. I'm a big fan of his, and I think that there's another market inefficiency there with the Ducks. Now, he's young. I don't know if Anaheim is willing to give up on him, but they don't seem right now overly committed to having Zellweger in there as an everyday guy, and he would be an everyday guy on the Flames. So I love that idea, and I think he'd be a great fit to play with a Weegar or a great fit to play with an Anderson. Probably Weegar, because when Ball comes back, that'll be your pairing again. But Zellweger, local kid with Weegar, that'd be a really interesting pairing. Now, you'd have to pay a lot to get him, but I think that you'd be okay with the Flames giving up a lot to bring in a player like that because of the age and how he would fit with this team going forward. This reads from Murray. Good to hear Vladar get a win with some run support. Can the Flames bring up a D-man from the farm to play with Pahal, or are there roster issues? They could. I did not love Miramanov on the left side tonight. They swapped Miramanov and Bean. So they had Bean playing with Weegar for a good chunk of this game, and then Miramanov moved to the left and was playing with Pahal. Did not love that duo, and I thought Miramanov had his struggles, but it kind of felt like the Flames were a little, again, it was a 100% zone start for Miramanov tonight. I don't think that's his best place. Could they? Yes, they could bring up a Kuznetsov, they could bring up a Soloviov, and try one of those two guys with Pahal on the third pairing. I would have no problem if they did that. They would have to put Kevin Ball on IR, and that would give them the roster space to do that. Obviously, they don't have any cap issues. Kevin Ball is on IR, actually. I wondered about that today when they did the scratches. Kevin Ball has been placed on IR retroactive to last Saturday. So they do have the option to call somebody up from the American League because they're down to 7 active D. They could also call up another forward if they wanted to, but they're down to 22 on their active roster. So if they wanted to, they could call somebody up from the American League. What else we got here on the text line at 960-960 tonight? This says from Chris in Regina, do you think the Flames will make another deal leading up to the trade deadline? If so, what do you think they'll covet? I think left shot defense is that question from a little earlier was talking about. I do think left shot defense is an area that they could look at. Alex in Silver Springs, how come clubs are so secretive about player injuries? It's pretty clear that Kevin Ball has a concussion, but it's upper body. Still don't know exactly what's injured on Zeri's knee. Quinn Hughes, didn't play for the Canucks tonight and was even interviewed last game, but undisclosed. I mean, they don't like to give until the NHL tells teams that they don't have to give up the details of an injury, they're not going to. They believe teams believe it's a competitive advantage to not tell and a competitive disadvantage to purposely tell. Some teams tell more, some teams tell less, but the NHL hasn't told teams that they have to. So if teams don't want to, there's under no obligation. Like the NFL had to start disclosing the specificity of injuries because the league knows the impact of sports betting. And so injuries started to be disclosed and very, very transparent. Maybe the NHL gets there at some point. Ash says, after special teams, I thought a key factor in today's victory was the Flames' ability to win faceoffs thanks to Frost. The eye test suggests that he was their highest faceoff winning percentage of the season. I felt that Backlund played one of his best games in a long time, despite not being 100%, as you mentioned earlier. And by the way, Frost tonight was 62% in the faceoff dot, 8-5. Backlund 12-9, 57%. Same thing with Nazem Kadri, 12-9, Flames 58%, which we don't see very often. This reads, just saw the graphic. Calgary's 9-4-1 versus the Pacific this year. That's a nice parallel with the 14-15 team where they own the Pacific that year. And this one from Jordan in Vancouver. In Coquitlam, actually. Give Jamie Pringle video coach of the year. I don't care. Make the award. Big win for the guys. Had a great eventful first period. Man, were they hung in there for the... I don't know what that's trying to say. They looked like they were down a man for a lot of those final 40 minutes, but can't be upset as they came out of it with a much-needed win. Vladar made some great, much-needed saves, and man, what a final save to end the game. Happy for him to get a big win for himself and for the team. I liked Frost's first goal as a Flame. Great move and great shot. I think this guy is very quickly going to become a fan favorite if he keeps this play up. That whole line was fun to watch today. I was very relieved to see Coronado not immediately head down the tunnel and end up back on the ice after that little scare at the end. Finally, love the Pahal hit. And when are these fights after clean hits going to stop? I know it's probably not great seeing a teammate get hit like that, but it's not dirty and he's not injured. It just slows everything down and is unnecessary. Ironically, the guy who went after Pahal hurt his own hand. Yeah, I'm fully on board with Jordan on that one. Braden Pahal doesn't throw dirty hits. Braden Pahal is one of the best textbook body checkers in the league right now. He throws hip checks that are perfectly legal. He throws open ice hits that are shoulder to chest or shoulder to shoulder. He doesn't headhunt. He's very, very judicious about when he lays into somebody. Braden Pahal hits by the book 100% of the time. And they're not even borderline. And when he blew up, I think it was Burakovsky, when he blew up Burakovsky, that was a perfect NHL textbook hit. This is a big boy sport. Like, we're talking about adults, and physicality is part of the game. I think it's so dumb that Jared McCann jumped him. He laid a perfect hockey hit. And then McCann jumps him, as Jordan said. Hurt his hand, too. Burakovsky jumped right back up, got belted, and was right back up. Like, there was nothing wrong with that. That's hockey. It's the NHL. These are the best players in the world, and sometimes they're going to get caught. And if it's a headshot, or if it's interference, or if it's away from the puck, or if it's from behind all day, you want to see guys sticking up for their teammates. But, like, what are you sticking up for if you're Jared McCann? You're sticking up for Burakovsky getting hit with a textbook within the rules play? It's just such a... I don't quite understand it. I know a lot of people on the outside don't, but it's turned into part of what happens in today's NHL. Text line remains open at 96960, and the phone lines are open at 403-240-4444 on this Sunday night. Couple of lines open if you want to jump in and chat with us. This is your Flames Talk post-game show on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Of course, live right here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. My name is Pat Steinberg. Flames win it 3-2 over the Seattle Kraken. And Spencer is kicking us off on the phone lines tonight. What's up, Spencer?
Hey, Pat.
How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. First, I'm calling in. I love the show.
Well, welcome aboard.
Thanks. Just wanted to kind of talk a little bit about a few things. But Vlad looked really good. He wasn't fighting his rebound control quite as much as he has been the last few games.
Agreed.
Yeah. Frost looked really good, too. I love his creativity on the power play. Like, not that he's necessarily quarterbacking it, but it felt like everyone was just more cohesive with him on the ice.
Yeah, I mean, I did think that it was a pretty, especially from in the first 20 plus minutes, I thought it was a really cohesive effort.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think Farabee and Coronado might get swapped? I just think Coronado should get his chance on that first line, and Farabee might kind of get some help learning the system, maybe on that line with Backlund.
It could happen. I mean, I don't think that's out of the question. I do like the theory of Farabee on that line, but I also love the idea of Coronado on that Kadri line. So I don't really have a problem either way with it. I mean, it's only been two games, and they picked up a win, so I don't know if you need to make a change there right away. But down the road, I think there's some really interesting things that you could explore. Like, what about at some point doing, like, there's a few things. Like, what about Coronado and Frost? Coronado, Frost, and Sharangovich. Yeah. And then you could move Zeri onto the Backlund line and keep Farabee on the Kadri line. Or you could do, like, Frost, Zeri, and Sharangovich and have Farabee with Backlund and Zeri with Kadri. I think there's a lot of different things that you have options to do. And it just feels like they're more desirable options after the trade as opposed to prior.
Yeah, no, I agree. There's a lot of way more interesting line combinations that you can throw out there. Yeah, for sure. PK looked really good. I feel like they're really pressuring the opposition when they have puck possession, which wasn't necessarily always the case. Like, they were really aggressive, which was nice to see, I think. That was really helped make the kill look a lot better, I thought.
Yep, agreed.
Kind of with not that I don't really like complaining about the refs necessarily, but I feel like they kind of went into game management mode after the first period, and that icing was a little frustrating, but I kind of thought that they would end up going to the center ice on that, but anyway.
Yeah, the icing one was weird. I actually think the Flames probably had a beef on that. They felt like they thought that maybe the Seattle player held up just a little bit too much, and then they still called it icing. Like, usually they wave it off if a guy pretty obviously is delaying for it to be an icing. But this
and it never even crossed the line, you know?
That doesn't matter as much. Like, the crossing the line from, like, a lot of times you'll see if it's if the player, like, the Seattle player clearly, I think, was ahead of the Flames players. But it was the fact that he was delaying for it to get down there and was so clearly delaying. At least that's the way I read it. I could be wrong on that, but it felt like the Seattle D-man was delaying and trying to make it an icing, and usually linesmen will wave that off when that's the case.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. Kind of the end of my thing. Oh, I was going to ask, did you guys ever think about putting the pregame shows on the podcast feed?
We haven't, because the shelf life is so little, right?
That's fair. Yeah.
Just because, like, it kind of pregame.
When I listen to them, I really like them. But
well, and we really like doing them. But, like, a pregame show an hour before a game, immediately, like, as soon as it's over, it no longer is relevant on podcast.
Yeah,
right?
That makes sense. So that's why that was the last little bit I had here.
Okay, man. Well, call back anytime, Spencer. I appreciate the call, man.
That was good. Have a good night,
Pat. Be well. Thanks, Spencer. Couple lines open if you want to chat tonight on the phone lines at 403-240-4444. It is your Flames Talk postgame show on this Sunday night. 3-2 Flames win over Seattle. Let's say hello to George. What's up, George?
Not much, Patty. How are you doing tonight, my friend?
I'm good, man.
Good. Man, I thought Morgan Frost was excellent tonight. I thought, like, I loved pretty much every aspect of his game tonight. I thought he was fantastic. Again, two games in, don't want to get too jacked up, but man, oh man, this is already looking like a really good acquisition.
Yeah, I mean, he's a natural center. That was a really nice move. He won a lot of faceoffs tonight and centered their best line. Like, that's a nice game too, and I thought he did some good things on Saturday night as well.
Yeah, for sure. And again, I'm willing to leave Farabee up there a little bit longer. You know, to see if he can, you know, find his way with those two players. And if not, I like the other suggestion. I believe it was a texter that said maybe, you know, swap him and Coronado. We'll see. I mean, you know, with bringing those two players in, we have more options now. You can try more things. But, I mean, like I said, both those players, too, you know, they played, what, 3 games in 4 nights when you take into account the game they played with Philadelphia before they came here. They've traveled a lot, so it's tough. But it was tonight, in general, was a gutsy win. I mean, it was a tough game. I understand we're a better team than Seattle, and Seattle's kind of the definition of, like, mid right now. But at the same time, they have a fantastic first period. And then you could see, you know, halfway through the game and on, they looked tired. It looked like everything caught up to them. But they hung in there, and they got the 2 points. They got out of there and back to Calgary. That's all you can ask for at this point.
Yeah, and I think they've done a really, really good job so far. And I mean, Frost more so than Farabee. But I think these guys will settle in. I think that we'll be talking about, I do think that Farabee will settle in as well. And whether his ultimate spot is on the Kadri line or his ultimate spot is on the is on the Backlund line, I don't know. But I do think he'll settle in as well.
Yeah, so do I. What do you think they'll do with a fourth line here? I think it's something like they were better tonight, but I still think it's something that's kind of an Achilles heel for us this year. For me personally, I probably give Hunt a call up and give him a shot there. And then if that doesn't, you know, really do it, then at this point, I wonder if Conroy doesn't kind of either make a waiver claim if somebody gets sent down from another team, or perhaps even make a trade to upgrade the fourth line.
Yeah, I do think the fourth line needs some work. It struggled again tonight. And I don't know, like, do you need to make a trade there? Is there American League things you could do? I don't know. I mean, do you try a Sam Morton there at some point? I don't think Bishop's been a big impact, big improvement on Rooney. Rooney is what he is. Klapka's been okay. We know what Lomberg brings. I guess if you could find a center iceman, preferably a right shot center iceman that you could get for a pretty negligible price, you could do something like that. But otherwise, maybe you try a few other things internally. But yeah, the fourth line is something that needs to be improved, no doubt.
Yeah, and again, because things have been going so well for the Wranglers, and a lot of people have earned, a lot of players down there have earned to get a look. Like, Dryden Hunt's the first one on my list right now. Like, I definitely, before I would do anything trade-wise, I would definitely call him up, give him a shot to see, you know, if he can make an impact. Honestly, Patton, it's not just my bias, but Lomberg's the only person who hasn't been a problem there. Not that the guys every game he's had has been great, but to me, there's a reason he hasn't been scratched this year, right? Like, he finds a way to impact this team in a positive way almost every game. So, to me, he's not really the problem there. It's finding the other two. I think, like, we've been kind of going in and out, back and forth with who else can fit with Lomberg to kind of make that more of an impactful line, to give them a few more minutes, to give the other three lines, you know, a bit more breathing room, because that's been, like I said, it's been an Achilles heel for us all year. And I think that as the games go on, as we get deeper into the season, it's going to be really important to have a fourth line that's solidified and one that you can really depend and rely on.
Yeah, and I mean, if they end up being in the playoffs and want to do anything in the postseason, I think that's going to be really important as well.
Yeah, I agree. I thought Anderson had a rough night tonight, and again, they're tired, so I don't want to rag on them too much. But at the same time, I think Ball's absence is really affecting his play. Like, I think they melded so well together, and it's been hard to find someone who can have not the same impact, because again, replacing Balls can't be done on this team right now, replacing what he does. But I don't know. I think Anderson suffered for us. So, you know, hopefully whatever's going on with Ball isn't too serious and he can be back soon. But I thought that pairing, Anderson and Hanley, had a rough night tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I did think that they spent a lot of time defending. They were kind of the pairing that was the pairing that did a lot of the water taking on. There's a lot of carrying water. They were both, like, well under, I think that, shot attempts at 5-on-5 with those two on the ice, like 32-7 for Seattle Anderson, 33-6 for Hanley. That's not usually how it goes. It's not usually. So, yeah, was it a rough night for that pair? For sure it was. But yeah, they've been generally fine. And you know, Hanley hasn't had a lot of those rough nights.
No, he hasn't. And like I said, credit to Hanley. Just the fact that he's a regular in the lineup now is awesome. And he's earned that spot. You know, going from the de facto number eight defenseman to where he is now, kudos to him. You're not going to hear me say a lot of bad things about Hanley. And like I said, everybody has a rough game. So, you know, again, it got hairy at the end there, but they hung on. They got 2 points. The ride continues. Toronto's going to be a very interesting one. We'll talk about it then, my man. I hope you have a good night.
Okay, George, be well, man.
Yes, my friend. Take care.
Phone lines at 403-240-4444. We've got a few lines open on this Sunday night following a 3-2 win. So if you want to jump in now, won't get a busy signal. Let's say hello to Melissa. What's going on, Melissa? Melissa, you there? Melissa going once. Melissa going twice. And I don't think Melissa's there. Okay. So we are clear on the phone lines right now. If you want to jump in, call now, 403-240-4444, as the phone line's wide open. Still lots to get to on the text line this evening on your Flames Talk post-game show. A Sunday night Flames win in Seattle, 3-2 over the Kraken. Let's go back inside the Flames locker room now. How about Morgan Frost scores his first goal as a member of the Flames, centered Calgary's best line all night long, and he was very, very good. Let's hear from Morgan Frost post-game tonight.
Group. Obviously, it's a tight turnaround, back-to-back games, but what do you make of the first period and the way you set yourselves up?
Yeah, I mean, obviously on the road, when you get off to a start like that, it's nice, and like you said, that was a tough back-to-back, tough turnaround, and I mean, obviously, I'm really new here, but it kind of shows the resiliency that this group has, and you know, everyone was confident all day and in between periods, and just a great attitude in the room, and it felt like we were going to win all day.
Well, I mean, just based on, you know, obviously you mentioned it, you're still new, but just what you've heard and obviously in the limit to what you've seen, you know, is that kind of, you know, what is type of period that can make this team successful the way that you played it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think the leaders really stepped up, and it's a tight group in here, and you know, if we play like we did in that first period, I think we caught them flat-footed, and you know, obviously there's some power plays and stuff mixed in there, but
sure.
That's just a great road period, especially in the first period. And I thought the third period was great too, kind of shutting it down. They had their press in the second period, but the third period was a great road period too.
Probably something you expected too. I'd imagine just for you, nice to get that first one out of the way.
Yes, yeah. I had a chance in the first period of wide open net and missed that one. So, yeah, it was nice to get the first one. And, yeah, really excited to be here. I'm yeah, happy to score one.
I know it's only 2 games, but can you sense a little of that chemistry? I mean, in terms of the line and just, you know, I guess maybe that's, you're probably chipping away at that over the next week here too.
Yeah, I think, you know, keep trying to talk to those guys, and, you know, they're both great players, and they do so many of the little things right, and I think we've been playing well. I think we've been good on the forecheck and getting some ozone time, and yeah, I'm having fun, so hopefully keep it going.
There you go. Morgan Frost post game tonight. He scores a big goal, helps the Flames to a 3-2 win over Seattle. Okay, phone lines open. We're clear right now, so you will not get a busy signal. And I will also say, last call for phone calls. So if you want to jump in, now's the time to do so. 403-240-4444. If we don't get more calls, that's perfectly fine. But it is last call. Also, keep your text coming at 960-960. This is your Flames Talk post-game show. We're available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts, and live right here. This is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Flames Talk post-game show continues on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, your final score from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle. The Flames take a 3-2 win over the Kraken as our Flames Talk post-game show rolls on. Okay, it is last call for phone calls. If you want to jump in, now is the time to do so at 403-240-4444. Last call. You won't get a busy signal if you call now. So if you want to chat, do so right now. But you only got a few more minutes if you want to get in on the phone lines. If you're on hold right now, stay there. Our final trip inside the Flames locker room. Let's check in with Jonathan Huberdeau. His power play goal on a 5-on-3 ends up as the game winner, and he's now up to 20 goals for the seventh time in his NHL career, and he does it in 52 games, which is the fastest he's ever hit 20 in his NHL career. Here's Jonathan Huberdeau post-game following tonight's 3-2 win.
Well, listen, we talked this morning. We knew this was going to be a tight turn for your group. What do you make of just the way that you responded here?
I mean, you know, we talked about having a good start, and but we did. I think it's nice to get, you know, a 3-goal lead. Took advantage of some penalties. And, yeah, I think the guys did the job. I mean, they pushed back. We know that on a back-to-back, you know, there's going to be some time, a little fatigue gets in. They had the momentum a couple of times. But then, you know, Vladdy, felt nice for Vladdy. I mean, it's been a while. He hasn't got a win, so we're happy for him.
I know maybe a nervous moment kind of at the end, or at least, you know, as you mentioned, you saw that push. But, yeah, how good do you feel for him and just what he did?
It's great. I mean, it's been a while. I think, he's playing most of the back-to-back, the second game, so it's a tougher position for him, but he's been playing well. I think we just couldn't, you know, get a win for him, but tonight we did, and that's the one that we needed a lot.
Well, you guys talked this morning. If the chances keep coming and the urgency, you know, some of those goals would follow. Nice to see a first period where you get a couple bounces like that.
Yeah, that's nice. I mean, Frosty, really nice shot, you know, coming in, my glove, and then Sharky, you know, got fortunate there. But I think that's the bounce we've been waiting for. So it's nice to get, like I said, a big lead, get some bounces, and, you know, after that, we kind of stuck with it.
Seventh 20-goal season for you, and your fastest reaching that milestone of your career. I mean, maybe just a thought on hitting 20, and obviously, you know, still some room here to go. Add to it.
Yeah, I've been, been around the net more this year, so I've been fortunate to get some bounces and score some goal there. And hopefully, you know, can keep going, can have some more. And, you know, at the end of the day, you want to help the team to win. And, you know, that's what we did.
There you go. That is Jonathan Huberdeau after getting to 20 goals for the seventh time in his NHL career. He's 20th tonight. Also the game winner in a 3-2 win over the Flames. Let's get back to the text line at 960-960. This says congratulations to Huberdeau for his 20th goal. But honestly, the guy drives me nuts. He tries those crazy passes all the time and ends up giving the puck away, man. Oh, man. Hard-fought win, guys. Congratulations. You know, that sometimes happens. It's happened less this year than it did the first 2 years. And he's having a pretty good season. Camille and Fernie says, looked like Farabee was a little shaky tonight. Is this something we're worried about, or do you think he'll settle in? I think it's way too early, Camille, to be worried. I do think we're talking about a guy who, do I know for sure he'll settle in? No, I don't. But I mean, a guy who put up 50 points last year, I do think that this is a guy that can play in the league, and it's only been 2 games. I think he'll settle in. I think he, at the very least, deserves a good chunk of time to settle in on the to settle in with, whether it's that line or just period with the team. Jeff in Lethbridge says, did not watch or listen tonight. Did see some highlights. Happy to see Vladar get a win and Sharon Govich get 2 points, especially after my critical comments last night on Sharon Govich. I noticed Frost scored. How did Frost and Farabee look tonight? Frost was great. One of their 2 or 3 best players all night. And Farabee a little shakier. That line at 5-on-5, Kadri, Huberdeau, Farabee, they did struggle. This reads, why is Backlund on the power play? Well, right now, Backlund's on the power play because they've got their 2 other centers on the first unit. Frost and Kadri are on the first unit. You need a center to win faceoffs. You need a center to be the pivot guy. You need a center for the vision. That's why Backlund's on the second power play unit. First unit's got Huberdeau. It's got Frost. It's got Kadri, and it's got Coronado with Uyghur at the top. So that's now the number one unit, and it's got 2 of Calgary's 3 centers, the top 3 centers on it. Backlund, Coleman. Actually, it's kind of all over the place. What, Backlund, Farabee. There's a lot of different guys who have been on that power play. So that would be the main reason why Backlund's getting power play time. Backlund, Coleman, Farabee, Sharon Govich all get power play time. Farabee can play center, win faceoffs. Sharon Govich can play center, win faceoffs. But I think that's the main reason why. This reads, says, Evening, Pat. Is ball out till after the Four Nations, or what's the timeline? Sure miss him right now with no replacement in the system. Lots to like tonight. Lots of ugly in this game, but was to be expected. Who do you think is Frost comparable? I sure like him. Also, Pahal is Saskatchewan tough. That comes from Derek in, funny enough, Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. And Estevan's Braden Pahal is Sask tough, and he hits clean. Ball out. Ball still, it kind of is up in the air. I think there's a chance he could be back this week, but we're talking about a suspected concussion here. I think we can pretty safely assume it's a concussion, and it all is about how you go day by day. And if you don't have a couple of days after riding the bike hard of setbacks, then it becomes a little bit more likely that he could return. So, you know, if it's borderline, then I think they'll hold him out until after the Four Nations. I think he would probably, if he had his druthers, he would like to play before the Four Nations, so it's not an extended period of time without game action, but only if it's 100% not pushing it to do. If they're pushing it even the slightest, they'll hold him out. So up in the air in terms of what's going to happen with Ball. But I've been told by a few different people now that absolutely the door's open for him to return before the break, just by no means a guarantee. Frost comparable. Oh boy. He's pretty cerebral. He's a center. Like I'm trying not to, the first guy that comes to mind, I don't, probably not fair, but I was going to say, like, there's a little Bergeron in him, but obviously of not that level. But you know, he's really cerebral with the puck. He's a good entry guy at center. He's a good pivot guy on the power play. He's got a good shot. Hey, let me think a little bit more on comparable for Frost. That one's going to stump me for the time being. Travis and Vulcan says, Pat, I have to say Conroy's made Calgary a class act in welcoming new players. Frost and Farabee are really looking like they'll mesh well. Each time Sharkey and Frost score, I think it should be Frostbit. Jokes aside, if they can shore up the back end, they're on the path to success. This is how a rebuild is done correctly. Go Flames, go. This comes from Sunny. Hello, hockey fans. Loving the vibes of the team. Travel after a late game and an early start. Explain that one, schedule enthusiast. Pat thought the refs lately have been letting more go both in way of... Pat, I thought the refs lately have been letting more go both in the ways of slash and cross checks in the first period. Frost is fantastic. Love seeing Stampeders quarterback Vernon Adams Jr. on the bench firing up the boys during warm-up. Seemed to work. Weegar flipping him a puck. The vibes are immaculate. Playoffs, Pat? Playoffs? Yes, and Conroy, I trust. Imagine Flames versus Oilers dreaming above the clouds with Gangstar blaring. Stay warm, Calgary. Burn, baby, burn. Go Canada, go. Boo tariffs and bullies. That comes from Sunny. This says, I thought Frost was immense tonight. Just a good road game all in all. Happy to see Dan get the win after his last few starts. That comes from Theo. This from Steve. With only a few UFAs this summer and based on Conroy's comments of keeping the core together, major changes don't seem likely. What's the path forward for the kids coming up next fall? Well, I mean, I think that you'll probably see some players walk away in free agency. I think that Rooney would be a guy that they don't retain. Barry's probably not a guy that the Flames retain. Hanley may not be a guy they retain. Bishop, they may not retain. Like, so there's some definite situations there. Mantha, they may not retain. We'll see. So there's definitely some paths there for players to break in. I think the Flames will have interest in Sam Bennett and Mikko Rantanen. If either of those guys hit free agency, I think the Flames will make, you know, overtures and pushes to see if they can sign one of those guys if either Florida's Bennett or Carolina's Rantanen hit free agency. But I think there's still very much a path for kids to play on this team. I don't think there's any doubt about that with the way Conroy's gone about his business. And even in situations where it feels like, or you can make the argument that the path is blocked, there's still been a way for for younger players to get into the lineup and make their mark. Chris and Sundry says, Pat, in an attempt to avoid being a homer, I got to tell the truth. The Kraken got a raw deal on those penalties and goals in the first period. If I was a Seattle fan, I would have felt ripped off. What was the deal with the Oleksiak penalty? Why was that not negated by the goal? All that said, as a homer, the Flames deserve some bounces. That comes from Chris and Sundry. I believe what happened there is there were two penalties. I think they were both on Oleksiak. Oleksiak. I believe there was a slashing and a hooking penalty that they were going to call. So Sharangovic scores, and that negates one of them, but not both of them. And so it's Seattle not challenged. Then it would have just been a 5-on-4 power play immediately after, and one of those Oleksiak penalties would have counted. So the Kraken challenge, though, lose the challenge, so then it's a 5-on-3. One of Oleksiak's gets negated, the other counts, and then the delay of game for the challenge, which is why the Flames were on the 5-on-3 for 2 minutes. The more I think about it, the sillier that challenge feels, because on top of that, the minute they challenged, they were guaranteeing Calgary 5-on-3 for 2 minutes, as opposed to just having a 5-on-4 for 2 minutes and being down 2-0. They put themselves in a pretty exposed situation to be 5-on-3 down, trailing 2-0. And yeah, that's the way it ended up happening. Then they're down 3-0. You know, if they take the goal, then it's a 5-on-4. Maybe you kill that off and you're still only down 2. The whole thing was very, very odd. This from Jared. Got out to an early lead, and that was what they needed tonight. Scary down the stretch, but that's a good road win off of back-to-back. Frost was very good. Not only the goal, but he made a lot of little plays, especially defensively, tying up sticks, which I really liked. I think it may be time to switch up Uyghur on the top power play unit. He's been standing a little too stagnant for my liking at the top, and doesn't look where he's dropping the puck on the breakout, which has led to a few sketchy mishaps. I just don't know who is the best option to replace him. Barry's not an everyday guy. Rasmus, I don't think is going to be a significant upgrade. I mean, Uyghur's got some chemistry with those guys. I personally, Jared, would keep him there. I actually quite liked Uyghur on that unit tonight. I thought he was a big part of that power play success. Greg in Varsity says, I liked what I saw from Frost tonight. And as for a comparable, I think he looked like Zeri, to be honest. Somebody suggests Alex Wenberg is a good comparable for Frost. I don't mind that. And this reads, Pat, is it magic number time? No, not yet. Not until March for me anyway. Not until after the break would it be magic number time for the Flames. We're getting there, but not yet. Great stuff on the text line tonight. And we're clear on the phone lines as well. Look at that. Thank you all so much for all your texts tonight. Thank you for all your phone calls tonight as the Flames win this one 3-2 over the Seattle Kraken. It's time for our final summary tonight as the Flames did all their damage in the first period. And they might have looked back a little bit, but they were able to hold on. The Flames opened the scoring at 14:03 of the first period. Morgan Frost makes it 1-0 Flames with his first as a member of the team. 12th of the season. Yegor Sharangovic, Martin Pospisil will draw the assist, and it was 1-0. They would go up 2-0. 2 minutes and 40 seconds later, power play goal from Yegor Sharangovic makes it 2-0. His 10th from Michael Backlund and Rasmus Anderson at 16:43. Then a minute 13 after that, on a 5-on-3, Jonathan Huberdeau blasts home his 20th of the year. Nazem Kadri, Mackenzie Uyghur, the assist at 17:56. Another power play goal made it 3-0 Flames for Huberdeau, his 7th career 20-goal season. Now, Kraken start to chip away. They get on the board at 14:31 of the second period. Kaapo Kakko with his 9th of the year makes it 3-1. Jaden Schwartz and Josh Mahura draw the assist at 14:31. Flames led 3-1 after 40. Then early in the third, a little more life for the Kraken. They get the crowd into it with Brandon Tanev scoring his 9th of the year to make it 3-2. Tanev from Jared McCann and Shane Wright at 5:41, and Kraken just a shot away from tying it. Unfortunately for them, they're not able to beat Dan Vladar from there on out. And fortunately for the Flames, they're able to close out the 3-2 final score. Final shots, 35-31 Calgary. Flames go 2-for-5 on the power play. Seattle 0-for-3 with the man advantage. Your three stars tonight in the building. Number 3, Joey Decord of the Kraken. Number 2, Jonathan Huberdeau. And with a goal and an assist, the number 1 star tonight was Yegor Sharangovic. Hardest working Flame is selected by Megan Mickelson tonight was Morgan Frost. With the win, Flames improved to 26-19-7. They're back in action Tuesday at home to Toronto, while Seattle falls to 23-28-3. They're back in action Tuesday at home to Detroit. That is your final summary. And now for everyone involved in Flames hockey tonight, for our broadcast crew of Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson, and for our outstanding producer, Azam Ali Nanji, my name is Pat Steinberg. That'll start to wrap us up on our Flames Talk post-game show, which is available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcast. Next up for the Flames is Tuesday night, as it's that time of year. It's time for the Toronto Maple Leafs to visit the Scotiabank Saddledome. It's always a rather loud and boisterous night when the Leafs visit, and it's even going to be a 7 o'clock faceoff. They're not going to push it back for the Eastern viewers. 7 o'clock faceoff, 6 o'clock warm up, live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Have yourself a wonderful week ahead. Your final score on Sunday night from Seattle: Flames 3, Kraken 2. This has been your Flames Talk post game show, available wherever you get your podcasts. And this has been Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.